End-of-life plan elements. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines end-of-life management as follows. Planning for the phase-out of one product and the phase-in of a new product to avoid both the excessive inventory of and an out-of-stock situation with the old product before the replacement product is available. An end-of-life plan is needed for the point at which a product is no longer profitable due to lack of demand caused by obsolescence, market saturation, or supply/manufacturing issues such as rising costs, also affected by the level of competition. These plans need senior management support, consensus, and approval. A best practice is to standardize the process so that important details such as communications will be timely and professional. An end-of-life plan can include the following steps. Determine an end-of-sale strategy and schedule. At the appropriate time, communicate the strategy and schedule to suppliers, supply chain customers, end customers, and other stakeholders. Often end-of-sales is a closely guarded secret until the time of official communication because it can ruin sales of the old product. Customers will wait for the new product, and this can result in unsold inventory. The strategy may provide time to sell off remaining inventory, including in the distribution network, sell it in bulk to a third party, reuse components, recycle products, or responsibly dispose of them. Marketing may reduce prices or provide upgrade incentives and support. Determine an end-of-service strategy and schedule. This should include plans for customer service, technical support, repairs, and/or service parts, and will need to be communicated well in advance. Service could remain profitable for an extended period, or, as an investment in customer loyalty, there could be a strategic decision to provide support for the expected life of the final product sold. Service parts might be outsourced or the design sold to other organizations. Less expensive forms of service could be substituted. Determine changes to manufacturing equipment or spaces that will no longer be needed. This can include selling the equipment, retooling it for new product introduction, NPI, or reallocating space. The product manufacturing rights and equipment could also be sold to a third party. Incorporate end-of-life plans. This includes plans for backward compatibility or the timing of the introduction of new products into NPI. Manage programs to accept products back at the end of their lives. Such programs could be based on regulatory requirements, be voluntary for sustainability, or enable recovery of rare materials such as gold. Perform risk and crisis management assessments. Contingency plans can be made for issues such as product recalls, lawsuits, or unhappy customers. Planning and inventory management professionals can provide valuable input or analysis for end-of-life plans. This includes reviewing minimum order quantity requirements, other contractual requirements, lifetime sales quantities and timing, and obsolescence timing. Products in decline can delay their end-of-life date by cutting costs, often at the expense of customer service. However, other costs might increase as suppliers also work to cut costs, since components may also be in decline. Planning and inventory management professionals therefore need to review minimum order quantity, MOQ requirements from suppliers, and for customers. Suppliers may increase their MOQ in order to cut their manufacturing and supply chain costs, and this will lower the organization's ordering cost but increase inventory carrying costs. Suppliers could instead lower the MOQ to promote sales if customers are no longer willing to buy in bulk. The organization can also alter its MOQs for customers for the same reasons. The net changes in costs will need to be analyzed for their impact on profitability. Contractual promises may have been made to suppliers to buy components or materials from suppliers or to provide products and/or support to customers for a particular period, such as for a warranty period. It is important to review exit clauses to determine if there are ways to end a product per a desired time frame. Reviewing lifetime sales quantities and timing involves estimating how many more units customers will purchase or can be convinced to purchase as a product is in decline slash nearing obsolescence. The purpose is to help determine the timing of how many more units of the old product to produce and the timing of when to stop production. If the product has a direct replacement, the replacement needs to be available at that time. This could be a new product or an existing one that could be a substitute and may be subject to increased demand. Lifetime sales quantities are also used to estimate the quantities of components, such as spare parts that will be needed to repair the existing products in use during their remaining useful life. Often, customers need to calculate a lifetime buy quantity for equipment they own. This is the quantity of spare parts that the customer will need to purchase now in order to maintain a product to the end of its life cycle. It is used when spare parts for the product are being discontinued. The timing of end of sales will not necessarily be obvious. Managers and salespersons will be invested in the status quo. Reviewing lifetime sales history can help provide information on where a product is in its life cycle. Historical sales trend data and the sales pipeline information from the sales organization can be used to help reach consensus regarding a product's end of sales point. The information can also be used for product life cycle analysis for future products that are similar. Obsolescence can be planned or market-based. Planned obsolescence is part of an NPI strategy to release a replacement product and market it as an essential upgrade. Market-based obsolescence is based on a steady or sudden drop in demand, often due to competitor actions. Reviewing obsolescence timing involves forecasting when a product should or must reach its end of sales point. It is also important to ensure that material requirements, planning components are planned accordingly as part of the end of sales plan, including managing and updating effectivity dates, removing safety stocks and buffers, reducing lot sizes, forecasting amounts of excess or obsolete inventory, and making plans for their disposition.